You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
We're here with Jamie Lee Ross, now National MP. Are you there, Jamie Lee?
Afternoon, Tess.
How are you today?
Not bad. Yourself?
Good, thank you. So first up, this week, National announced the social investment package where they are investing $321 million to help improve the circumstances of those in the most vulnerable conditions. So what kind of changes can we expect to see and what kind of goals are there for this package?
Well, the main announcement that was made this week was around investment into the education sector to support children with behavioural issues. We know that kids that have behavioural issues are more likely to fall behind in school and they need more support. So the major announcement is part of the 320, which you'll see more and more of over the coming weeks and months, is about $40 million to go into the education sector to support those kids. We think it'll mean that there'll be more teachers and more supporters there that will assist those kids. It'll mean they'll have more intensive support within the schools, and that'll help them to ensure that they're kept up in the schooling system. This is a bit of a recurring theme over the times we've talked, Tess, talking about social investment. Basically, we're saying, hey, these kids, if we don't support them more, are going to fall behind. Let's get in there early. Let's help them now before they fall behind at school, potentially drop out of school, potentially end up not getting an education, which impacts on their ability to get employment in the future. So it's all about investing up front, and that's what this package is all about too.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of prevention, you're saying a lot of the funding will be dedicated to education for those youth at risk. Will some of the funding be dedicated to prevention in other areas of social services?
Yeah, so we've got a budget coming up in several weeks' time. We roll out a range of announcements, and then we had more at budget time as well. This week we talked about the $40 million for additional kids. But social investment is not just about one particular project. It's about a whole of government approach to how we do things. So, when it comes to those on welfare, working out how we can assist people early and help to get them an education or help to get them off drug dependency so that they can go on and get more access to services so that they can go on and get jobs. When it comes to kids identifying where their needs are in the schooling system, identifying any needs they have in their life to do with family circumstances, and supporting them with wraparound services as a government. So, this announcement this week around education and around children, it'll see about 2,000 more teachers and those that are in the education system to assist those kids. We'll see probably another 1,000 kids receiving specialist behavioural support, taking that number from 5,000 to around 6,000. And overall, we're expecting about 50,000 children will have access to enhanced language support under the scheme as well. So it's not just one project. It's not just one announcement. You're going to see more and more over the years a change in the way government does things. We've been doing it incrementally already, and we're just ramping that up now.
So we spoke to Andrew Little on the wire yesterday, where he was supportive of the initiative. However, he did question where perhaps this may have come a bit late. Perhaps if things had been tackled a little sooner, we might not have reached the stage where we are at now. He says that in the past there was some underfunding in social sectors, such as Women's Refuge and Lifeline, which did cause some problems in the first place. So do you think it should have come sooner?
Well, of course you'd expect the Leader of the Opposition to find fault with something, but broadly speaking, government is spending more on social services. Our education spending has been climbing quite rapidly. We're seeing more kids educated. Our health spending has been climbing rapidly too, about $4 billion more. We're seeing more operations being delivered. We're seeing more kids getting access to doctors. We're actually seeing more mental health services as well. In the welfare system, we're investing in ensuring that we help people to get off welfare and get into work. We're seeing more people get jobs. We're seeing those that are welfare dependent reduce, and we're seeing better results because of it. Government's not perfect. There's still a lot of things we'd love to do and need to do more of. But overall, New Zealanders have a better standard of living. We're getting better outcomes for New Zealanders through the social services that we're investing in the country, and I think that's a positive thing. We need to do more. Andrew Little will identify things. The government will identify things. We need to get more services for New Zealanders to ensure they go on to get an education and get a job and live a successful life And we're doing more and more of that, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, so speaking of critics to this initiative, Child Action Poverty Group's economics and welfare spokesperson, Susan St. John, says working for families has been subtly cut back over the years. She says it was inadequate to support the living standards of the low-income working families and that it needs about another $700 million per annum just to get it back to its real value. So do you think this policy is an adequate replacement for this?
Well, it's not an adequate replacement. We have been boosting the amount that we support people by. I think it was last year. We were the first government in about 40 years that increased benefit payments for New Zealanders. We're seeing more people get into work as well, and we're seeing more people get jobs. It's not just about, one particular program. Working for Families has served and continues to serve a purpose. But if we can do things smarter, if we can ensure that we invest not just into people's pockets, but invest in services that will help them, then we can help more people and get better outcomes. One of the things that Bill English was focused on a lot as Minister of Finance was how we spend the money and getting best bang for your buck, if you like. We could just give people money, and we've done that to a certain degree, but we also want to invest more in the services. If we were to spend, $100 million on just giving people money, or $100 million on services that will help those most in need, that will ensure that they get a better education, to ensure that any social issues in their family are sorted out, and ensure that their children are getting the support they need in education so that they can go on and do better in schooling and then go on and get a job and then go on and avoid having any connection with child, youth and family or correction, I'd say that's a pretty good way of spending $100 million. I just plucked that figure out of the air, but that's basically the approach. Mm. We don't just give people money now and say, go off and do what you want with it. We try and target support more and more where it is needed most, and we have a huge amount of data that we've been collecting over years that enables us to better understand social problems in New Zealand, which makes us more able to socially invest in New Zealanders where it's needed most. So not just a handout when it comes to social spending, it's a hand up, and it's ensuring that we spend your taxpayer money as well as we can to help those most in need.
So moving on, the Australian government said this week that it would stop subsidising New Zealanders' tertiary education from next year, which is more than tripling the costs for many students. So what will this mean for New Zealand's wanting to study in Australia, do you think?
It means, unfortunately, that the Australian government has made a move which will seriously impact New Zealand students studying domestically. We're good in New Zealand. We support Australian students. As has previously been the case over in Australia. So I understand no current students will be impacted by this, but unfortunately the Australian government appears to be keen to charge New Zealanders as if they were foreign students. They won't get access to the domestic fees regime. Australia is still a sovereign country. We've pushed back. Our Minister of Foreign Affairs has been over there to talk to them about it. They've agreed that in the future there needs to be better communication between the two governments, and that wasn't communicated well on this particular circumstance. But if anyone's concerned that we might make a knee-jerk reaction ourselves, that's not going to happen. We're going to continue supporting Australian students that are studying in New Zealand. We consider Australians to be very good cousins of ours, and they get the same treatment as if they were domestic students in New Zealand, and that will continue as well. I understand in Australia they have about a million students in the university population, and Kiwis make up 8,000 to 10,000. So they're struggling with deficits, and they're struggling to find ways in which they can continue to provide services in Australia without cutting too much in the way of budgets. This is unfortunate.